Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Welcome, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Great to be spending some time with you today. It is Wednesday, the 10th of February of 2021, and good to be with you to talk about important topics. And today, it's about the pain that babies in the womb feel. And as one of you is saying, of course they do. Yeah, it makes sense, right? They're human beings too. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And the reason we want to talk about it, and we'll say a little prayer before we get into the details, is that legislation is going to be introduced again in the Congress, not by the Democrats, but by the Republicans, to protect babies in the womb from abortion because of the fact that they can feel pain. And that is a bill that has been introduced before. It's been introduced on the state level also, and in fact has been passed in various states. But it is going to be introduced yet again. And it's important that it be introduced now, even though the Democrats are in a slight majority, because we need to put them on the hot seat. We need to put them on the defensive. We need to put them on record as to a very basic question: why would you not want to protect babies from pain? Before we go into this, let's turn together to the Lord in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, you are the Lord of life. We praise you. We thank you for giving us life and for giving us the opportunity and the awareness of the duty to defend it. Life is a joyful thing, and therefore defending life, Lord, we acknowledge is a joyful activity. We do it with joy, even though we face up to tremendous evils that cause great sorrow and weeping and mourning and grieving. Yet at the same time, we carry out this work of justice, this work of mercy, this work of human rights in speaking up for our most vulnerable brothers and sisters with a tremendous sense of joy and peace, the joy and peace that come only from you and that no one can take away from us. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, can I ask you as we go through this discussion, go ahead and hit that share button if you're so inclined. Share this video. Let's get other people in on this as well to listen and watch on these very important topics. So Bertrand Russell once said, "A fisherman told me that fish have neither sense nor sensation. But how he knew that, he could not tell me." That, of course, raises a key point. Pain is very subjective. And how do we know that a person is feeling pain unless somehow they tell us? Now, the fish can't tell us. Neither can a baby in the womb. They can't tell us by saying, "ouch," which is how we usually tell somebody else. If we stub our toe or prick our finger or something, we say, "ouch." But for someone who cannot say that, are there still nevertheless ways to know whether they feel pain or not? And indeed, there are. There are. There are ways of telling that the body can feel pain, first of all, by the reflexes of the body. And secondly, or I should say the response of the body, because there's a difference between a full body response to pain. If I accidentally touch my finger to a hot stove, my whole body is going to react, right? It's not just a reflex from the finger. Or, you know, the doctor hits just below your knee and you have that reflex. That's just your leg responding. It's not a whole body response. But if you feel pain, there's a whole body response. You move away from the cause of the pain. And that is a sign that you're feeling that pain, that it's not just the nerves in the area that's being affected, but you are sensing that pain. But there's not only that whole body response. We see that whole body response, by the way, in the unborn child. It's one of the indicators that they feel pain when there's a painful stimulus going into the womb. There's a whole body response, not just a reflexive part of the body. But then there are indicators in things like heart rate, right? Blood pressure. And then also hormones, stress hormones that are released by the body when pain is being felt, can be measured both in adults and also in these unborn children. Stress hormones and also brain scans, looking at the activity of the brain. These are all different ways in which we can tell that babies in the womb are feeling pain. You see the behavioral responses, but then you also look at the anatomical structures, and I'm going to show you that in a moment a little bit more in detail. So can we know whether a baby feels pain or whether it is likely that a baby feels pain in the womb? Absolutely, we can tell. The second question, though, before I go into more of the scientific details, is a moral question. Should we care? And that's a question of basic human decency. Should we care whether or not babies feel pain? You wouldn't want your pet, cat or dog or whatever other pet you may have, to feel pain, right? I mean, you would do whatever you need to do to see that they don't feel pain. But we even have laws in this country that protect the cattle that we eat from feeling pain when they're slaughtered. The cattle, look it up, the Humane Methods of Slaughter Act, federal law, Humane Methods of Slaughter, to reduce or eliminate the pain that the cattle feel as they're being slaughtered for our food. And that, of course, raises another question. The fact that we know that these cattle can feel pain doesn't mean that we stop short of killing them so that we can have our beef. Similarly, with abortion, does knowing that the baby feels pain or thinking that the baby does not feel pain make a difference as to whether we think abortion is okay? And morally speaking, if we were just having an academic discussion about the morality or immorality of the act of abortion, we would say, well, no, it's not relevant to the ultimate morality of the act of taking the life of an innocent person. But we're not just having an academic discussion. We're trying to save lives. So therefore, the question of pain is very relevant because for many people, when they find out that the baby can indeed experience pain and is likely experiencing pain, they decide that they don't want to do that to their baby. I mean, just the awareness of this actually saves lives. And that's why it's important for it to be a matter of public discussion. And it is also a moral dimension. It doesn't ultimately determine or change the question of whether abortion itself is a moral act. It's an immoral act, always. But it does introduce another moral dimension because it's wrong to intentionally inflict pain on somebody. So the point is, because of this, there was, and we supported it when it came out some years ago, a legislation proposed called the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act. In other words, this was a proposed legislation, did not get enacted in law federally, but it was a proposed legislation to say that when abortions are scheduled, one of the things that the mother should be told is that the baby is likely to experience pain as a result of this procedure. Now we have a legislative proposal that goes a step beyond that and actually protects babies in the womb from abortion, starting at 20 weeks of development forward. Now, the reason for the 20 weeks is not that there is some kind of magical moment when some kind of switch is flipped and all of a sudden the baby at that point starts feeling pain, where the ones before that did not feel pain. That is not what we're saying, and that's not what the proposed legislation is saying. It's simply drawing a line, because a line has to be drawn somewhere, otherwise a law would be unconstitutionally vague to bring in the constitutional principle. But when you look at the medical evidence, that's a point around 20 weeks where the consensus is pretty strong that by that time, the baby feels pain. Back in 2001, as a matter of fact, 20 years ago, In Great Britain, their medical research council identified 20 weeks as the point where we can be quite confident that these babies feel pain. Now, what are these scientists and researchers looking at when they try to determine whether or not a baby feels pain? Let's go to the board and let's talk about some of the scientific research involved here. By the way, again, I want to encourage you, like the video, share this video, and let's get other people in on this discussion. Let me go to the board. And first of all, this is a gradual development. As the baby in the womb develops, there's a gradual development of the ability to feel pain. It's not one moment. It's not just one part of the baby's body. It's not a light switch that gets flipped on and off. It is a gradual development. Key thing to keep in mind is that there has also been a gradual development in our awareness of the pain of the baby. Our awareness has grown. In the 1980s, do you know what the anesthetic was when operations were done on newborn babies? You ready for this? Adhesive tape. We did not think, doctors and medical scientists did not think, that the newborn baby felt pain. And so, well, we're going to do an intervention on the child. Well, keep him or her still, put some adhesive tape there. That was it. No painkillers were used. Come 1986, that changed. It was no longer acceptable to avoid the use of painkillers when you're doing interventions on newborn babies. Medical science has developed since then into the whole area of fetal diagnosis and therapy. There's even a scientific journal by that name. I receive it myself. Fetal diagnosis. Sorry. And therapy. And the development of the treatment of the unborn child as a medical patient has progressed rapidly because of the rapid development of the ability to visualize the child. Ultrasound, of course, growing strong in the 1980s and various other visualization techniques. Well, have they've developed. And so the fact of the matter is that once you can see the baby, you can diagnose and treat the baby in many ways. So this whole area of medicine has developed. There are places like CHOP in Philadelphia, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, another center in Nashville. I've been to some of these places and talked with some of these doctors where fetal surgery is done. The unborn child, medical science's newest patient. Now, because of the analysis of pain research, in 1994, the prestigious British medical journal called The Lancet, any of you who have been to any degree of medical school, you know what this is, published an article saying that now that we can do interventions on the unborn child, surgical interventions, we recommend the use of painkillers in such surgeries. The use of analgesics, painkillers, in fetal surgery is now the norm. Remember, again, it used to be, and not that long ago, that we didn't even use painkillers on the newborn. Now we use them on the unborn. Why? Because, again, the research is developing and our awareness is growing that these babies feel pain earlier than we thought. Scientifically, and be on the lookout, by the way, for some various articles and interviews we're going to post on our main website in the coming days, endabortion.us, our main website. And this, and we'll summarize this for you in written form as well. When you ask the question, can the baby feel pain? From an anatomical, physiological point of view, there need to be several things in place. First of all, in other words, what's necessary anatomically to feel pain for any of us? First of all, you have to have pain receptors, sensory receptors. So I can feel my nail going into my hand right now. Why? Because in the skin on my hand, there are pain receptors. That's the first point of contact with whatever the painful stimulus is. All right? So they've got to be present and functioning. Then where does the signal go from there? It goes to the spinal column. And then you have to have the transmitters, the nerves, transmitters of the signal, right? And that they all convene at the in the spinal column. What's the third element that you need after all of that? You can have the receptors, okay? You can have them converging in the spinal column. What's the third thing you need? In the brain. Now, this is where some of the dispute has arisen about when a person begins feeling pain. You talk about the brain, okay, but what part of the brain? There are different parts of the brain that develop at different times. Early on in the development of the unborn child, you have the thalamus. Later in the development of the unborn child, you have the cortex. Now, the cortex is the area of higher function. Consciousness is often, associated with the cerebral cortex. But if you stimulate the cerebral cortex, if you prick it or put an electrical shock into it, guess what? A person doesn't feel that. You don't feel pain when you go into the cortex. Prick or stimulate in some way the thalamus? Oh yes, you feel it. So the awareness of pain from the point of view of the brain is much more convincingly connected with the thalamus than with the cortex. And that's an important point to remember, because some people will try to make the argument, oh, the pain is not there until the cortex develops. Well, now the evidence does not suggest that. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, the development of the cerebral cortex continues to happen, all through your childhood and adolescent years, in fact, until you're about 25 years old. The full development of the cortex is still in progress well after birth. So a lot of the scientific research in regard to pain will revolve around the question of the presence, the connection, and the functioning of these three anatomical structures. Do you know when, in the development of the baby, all of the major bodily systems and organs are present? When do you think that all of them are present and accounted for? Maybe with a couple of exceptions. Only 8 weeks. And that's the time at which the embryo, the baby is the nomenclature changes in the medical literature from embryo to fetus. But all of the bodily systems are present at that time. So we've got the brain, we've got the nerves, we've got the sensory receptors. It's a question of then the development then of the connection of all these things and the functioning. Again, that now, I mean, some medical teams have said, you can be having pain as early as 10, 12, 15 weeks. But the main consensus is that by 20 weeks, you've got all the connections and functioning necessary to say, look, we don't have any question that there's pain here. And there's one other point I want to bring up, which is really something to think about, and it puts into play once again that moral dimension of how much do we want to tolerate inflicting on these babies. It is very likely, well, let me approach it from this way, anatomically, structurally, besides pain receptors, that again, as I say, pain receptors and all the other mechanisms I just pointed out, we also have pain inhibitors. So, in his wisdom in constructing the human body, God has allowed the body to inhibit pain as well as to feel pain. And these are various physical and chemical functionings of the body that subdue pain. These, and here's the key point, develop later in the pregnancy, very much later, than do the pain receptors. These develop first. In other words, if you go in and you rip the arm off of a baby in the womb, that baby is not only feeling pain, that baby is feeling very likely way more pain than any of us would feel if, God forbid, our limbs were pulled off. We've got to take this to heart. And it's only right that people who support abortion be challenged to think and talk about these things. Over the years, as various legislation has been introduced to limit or even prohibit abortion, especially late-term abortion, and the abortion industry has challenged these pieces of legislation, there have been various court trials held across the country, and hearings also, or opinions, I should say, issued by the Supreme Court of the United States. In the course of these various debates over specific abortion procedures and whether they should be legal or not, the question of pain has indeed arisen. And we have the transcripts of these various court proceedings, and we'll put more and more of them up on our main website. Make sure you've got this bookmarked, endabortion.us, and check there on this regularly for updates. We have instances of the judge asking a practicing abortionist, now these are the men and women, reaching in to the womb and tearing these babies apart. We have testimony of these judges asking these abortionists if the baby feels pain. And I'll never forget one of these particular exchanges where the judge asked the abortionist, does the baby feel pain? And the abortionist actually said, well, that doesn't cross my mind. And the judge said, you mean you've never asked yourself the question? And the abortionist said, no. And the judge pressed him a little bit, says, it never even crossed your mind? Here you are tearing the arms and legs off of these living children. It never crossed your mind as to whether they feel pain? And the abortionist said, never crossed my mind. Let me grab a little photo over here, which I want to show you. You've seen it before if you watch my programs regularly, but just to drive home the point, does it make any logical sense to you that a procedure like this, now this baby is 23 weeks old. Now I told you much of the scientific consensus revolves around 20 weeks as the point at which pain sensation really kicks in. Does it make any sense to you at all that a living child having her arms and legs pulled off in this particular manner would not feel pain? I mean, let me bring this nice and close for you here on this image especially. I mean, pain should be the first thing that comes to our mind here. This is incredible. And again, we've got federal law in place, humane methods of slaughter, out of compassion for the cattle whose meat we enjoy in our hamburgers. Brothers and sisters, I hope this is helpful for you. There's a lot more about this. We'll post various interviews. I know some of the scientists that do research into the pain of unborn children. I've interviewed some of them, and we're going to share with you in the coming days more of those interviews. We're going to share with you more of the articles that exist, medical scientific articles. Those of you that are in medical school or aspiring to medical school, this is a fascinating area, and it's an area that deserves your attention, and maybe some of you want to go into the area of deeper research on this, because the research is developing, and the direction of the research is clear. The direction of the research is that the more we learn, the more we find that these babies feel pain much earlier than we thought. Final point, once again, be on the lookout. This may happen as early as tomorrow, that in the Congress, a bill will be introduced called the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. And this bill will say that babies, because of the interest of the state in protecting children from pain, babies from 20 weeks forward should be protected from abortion. This is a bill that has been voted. In fact, it's been passed. It hasn't been passed to the point where it could be signed into law, but it has been passed before in Congress. We need it to be introduced, and it will be introduced again in these coming days. And it's important to pay attention to, and we'll have a lot more to say about it. And it's an important talking point for you in discussing with your friends the topic of abortion, not only with your friends, but with your lawmakers too, both on the state and on the federal level. That's all the time we have right now, friends. Thank you always for watching and sharing these videos, for commenting, and for, most importantly, taking action on these steps, because as these bills get debated in Congress, we'll be turning to you and urging you to call your representatives and your senators to urge them to do the right thing here. So God bless you. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. And may the Lord send you his blessing and protection in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All of us at Priests for Life are praying for you each day. Let's keep in contact. Have a great day.
I think we have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone, someplace there in the audience. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.